Eagles Entertainment.
There ain't anything that moves. I don't care who it is. Let's go. Give me everything you got. Play fast. Play hard. Let's beat these boys tonight in their house.
It's party time. It's party time. Let's go.
Touchdown.
You are listening to the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. Now here's your host, Brand Duffy.
That's right, another day, and we've got another win to break down as the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast continues. I'm Fran Duffy, and as always, I think we've got a great show for you here on episode number 481. At the top of today's show, we've got Chalk Talk, where I chat with Greg Cosell about a big day for the Eagles offense, nearly 500 total yards, Dallas Goedert, the first tight end in the league this year to record a 100-yard day, a bunch to talk about on the defensive side before we get into Sunday's game against the New York Jets. Now, before we get into Chalk Talk, as always, I want to make sure you head on over to Apple Podcasts, rate, review, subscribe. If you've got a question, leave it there. We'll answer it here in an upcoming episode. Also, be sure to go check out the All 22 review. I've got a little bit of a new format here this week for the All 22 review. For a handful of the plays that Greg and I are going to talk about here tonight, you can go check that out over on the Eagles YouTube page. That said, let's get going now with Greg in Chalk Talk.
Let's get down to business. It's time for Chalk Talk.
All right, excited to welcome back my friend Greg Cosell for another segment of Chalk Talk. And Greg, the Eagles move on to 5-0 with a win against the Rams out in L.A. It looked early on that this was going to be a shootout, both teams kind of trading scores. it was kind of interesting to see how this game was going to set up. And then the Eagles made a lot of adjustments on defense. It was a lot of fun going through both sides of the football. But let's start with the Eagles offense. I think that when you look at Jalen Hurts, he was very productive in this game, both through the air and also on the ground. What were your big takeaways watching Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of an odd game because I thought on a certain level it was a Jalen Hurts game because he threw for over 300. He ran a lot, both by design and scrambling. But on the other hand, I also thought it was a tough game to evaluate because I thought that, there were a number of times he left the pocket where I personally thought that he shouldn't have. And, the thing about Jalen is he can do that and then make a really good play. And you and I have had this conversation over the years, and I've had it with many, including coaches at the combine. How do you deal with that as a coach? But, at the end of the day, the production was there overall, and he was really in this given game the driving force of the offense.
No question. And again, with what he did, both as a thrower and as a runner in this game, there were a handful of throws that really stood out. And there's been a lot talked about with the red zone and the struggles down there inside the 20-yard line. I think, the numbers can kind of tell a different story, than what reality can be sometimes with that. They went 2 for 6, but those last two drives, they were, it was like they're kind of salting the game away.
Right.
So, it was kind of weird from that standpoint. But I'll tell you what. The touchdown he threw to Goddard on the opening drive, that was big time quarterbacking because they're running a little high low concept to the right hand side, and he's got to hold that safety in the middle of the field to keep him from getting to Goddard in the back of the end zone. And he did a great job with his eyes of making sure to hold that safety in the middle of the field. He hit the top of his drop and he pulled the string. It was a big time play.
Yeah, I thought that was a classic case where they had a real good sense from a probability and tendency standpoint what they were going to get coverage wise. Because the route concept to the boundary expanded the coverage. And therefore, Hurts, he simply, I don't want to say simply like it's the easiest thing in the world, but right. He had to just control the post safety yeast, and that created the passing window to Goddard. But I thought that was, really good play calling because, my sense watching that, and I'm sure just like you, I watched the play 10 times. I don't think they would have done what they did with those other routes to the boundary side if they didn't have a really defined sense that they'd get the reaction that they were anticipating.
I mean, yeah, that was a trusted throw. Like, hey, Jalen, like that, this throw is going to be there.
Correct. That's a great way to say it. Great term, Fran. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it was certainly one of the plays that stood out to me going back through the film and even watching it last night. I think one of the other throws that stood out as well. The big play. I mean, this was the momentum changing play of the game. But AJ Brown was at 38 yards, one hander over the middle of the field in the 2-minute drill at the end of the first half. Yeah. That was one of your firm touch throws, Greg. That was a big time throw against the blitz out in front where only AJ could get it.
Another really good concept, I thought, 3-man route concept combination to the boundary that opened the passing window to Brown on the in breaker. It's the kind of route concept that would have worked against man or zone. I thought there was really good physicality by Brown versus Kendrick to totally minimize any route disruption. you know, Hurts threw a good ball. Brown made a good one-handed catch. But I really like the whole concept because, you know, you want to create a window for your quarterback. You don't want him to feel like he has to throw it through people.
Yeah, it's funny. I just had Kevin Petullo, the Eagles pass game coordinator, on Eagles game plan this week. We were looking back at a couple of A.J. Brown catches from a week ago against Washington. And in one of those plays, we were talking about how he had to push vertical on one of those in-breaking routes. And that's exactly what A.J. did there, pushing vertical while also playing through contact. You mentioned the physical jam there from D.K. Right. Kendrick. His ability to play through contact, that's always been one of the hallmarks of A.J. Brown's game.
Oh, without question. And that play, you know, it was really important he had to do that because if he was slowed down there, the entire timing of that play is over and Jalen has to go somewhere else or leave the pocket and try to make something happen with his legs.
Sure. I mentioned at the top of the show, Dallas Goedert, the first tight end in the NFL this season to hit the century mark. Obviously, a big game for Dallas Goedert. He had the touchdown. It was four catches, I think, for 45 yards on the opening drive. But that only continued throughout the course of the afternoon.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, what do you got?
On the opening drive.
Okay.
You know, obviously everybody said, oh, they're trying to get the ball to Goddard. They're trying to get the ball to Goddard. I thought the 19-yard screen was a check.
Yes, I think so too. So this was a play. I think it was the third play of the game.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously initially Young, it was a 5-2 front because the Eagles were 12. And initially Young, the outside backer, was aligned over Goddard. And then as he walked back into the box – and Jalen saw the safety Yeast staying deep, there was nobody in front of Goddard for 12 yards. And you could see he did something with his left hand where he touched his helmet. I saw that as a check to the screen. So, you know, I didn't think that that play was necessarily designed for Goddard.
No, well, I think he was thrown hot there. I think that was a sight adjust there, I think, from those two guys. And
I think it was going to be a running play if Young stayed outside because you had 6-on-6 in the box.
Right. Yeah, I think so. And then it turned into a 19-yard gain. You see the violent stiff arm there from Dallas Goedert, that ability to play through contact with him. And we know how good he can be yards after catch-wise. A handful of big plays in this game for Dallas Goedert. Certainly the 49-yarder on that little post-wheel concept in the third quarter, that was a thing of beauty as well.
Yeah, I love that play as well because, again, understanding the defense you're playing against, Heck was bumped out over Goedert in the slot to the boundary. And, you know, I just thought that whether that was any kind of check or just a play call, but ultimately, Smith from number one to the boundary kind of ran what looked like almost like a skinny post. Yep. And Goddard ran what I guess you'd call kind of a snag and go. I'm sure there's another term for it,
right.
But that's what it kind of looked like. And they got the mismatch that the coverage dictated.
Yeah, it was just one of those games where you had some similar feelings to what last year was, right? And that's what made that offense so difficult to stop a year ago was that they could beat you in so many different ways. And honestly, we've seen that from this Eagles team so far. I mean, it's a 5-0 start. We've seen DeAndre Swift be the focal point. We've seen A.J. Brown, obviously, three straight games with 100 yards. But you look at Dallas Goedert, we know what Devontae Smith can be. This offense is very, very difficult to stop. One big thing that I wanted to hit on as well, the offensive line being able to hold Aaron Donald without a sack. Once again, one of just two teams in the league that Aaron Donald has not been able to record a sack against. What did you see from the offensive line and what their plan was for Aaron Donald?
You know, a lot of times they slid to him. I mean, you know, it's funny because there were a couple of plays he wasn't in the game that they got big plays.
Yes.
But, you know, that's the way it works out. I tell you, there were a number of plays in which they got pressure on Jalen Hurts, by the way.
Yep.
And Jalen got away from the pressure and made something happen. So, you know, I think it's easy to say they took care of Donald and the statistics or lack thereof suggest that. But there were a number of plays in which there was pressure. And I think Jalen did a really, really good job at times in escaping that pressure and making a positive play. We saw him use his legs more from a scrambling perspective, a second reaction perspective in this game than in any previous game this year.
Yeah.
One other thing I'd really like to point out, and I'm sure you noticed it, and I think I say this every week, but it really stood out to me this week, was how strong a pass protector Kenneth Gainwell is.
Yeah. He's really flashing in that area for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, he blocked Jones with no problem. The linebacker, he even had a good block on Donald when Donald, it may have been from a loaded front, and he looped around, and there was Gainwell. And again, you know, obviously he's not going to lay Donald out, but all you have to do is hit him and hold him just for, you know, half a second and you've done your job.
Lose slowly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I that really stands out to me every single week is how good Gainwell is in pass protection.
Yeah, we'll hit through some of the other stuff as we go. Real quickly, we're talking about the running backs. DeAndre Swift continues to run hard. I know, you know, like the numbers were not there in this game again. It was like kind of like last week where, you know, with all the other work that they were doing offensively, Swift didn't get over 100 yards or anything, but gets over 70, two rushers over 70 yards. You mentioned Jalen Hurts and the scrambling, but DeAndre Swift is running hard. A lot of those dirty yards on like counter plays and like between the tackles. That was not an area I expected him to excel coming into the year, and he's really shined in that area.
I couldn't agree more. I think he's you know, running really well, and I think every game's different. Look, I think the Eagles are not, you know, I guess the best way I describe it, and then, you know, offensively, there's probably not a lot more to say, because I think one of the things we're finding out about this team, and every year is different. So we can say what happened last year. At some point, what happened last year is not even relevant anymore. Yep. But the point is that the Eagles can beat you offensively in multiple ways. And I think to be a really good team, you have to be able to do that. Now, the offensive line is a major part of that, obviously, because when you are really good on your offensive line, even if certain things are not working in sync the way that you would like them to, you, in some ways, you always know you have your offensive line to fall back on, and they can create things for you. But they can win in multiple ways, Fran, and I think that's the sign of a really, really good offense.
Real quickly, you mentioned the second reaction plays with Jalen Hurts. Also, a number of design runs. We saw the QB draw. We saw QB counter read. So that part of the offense, which we haven't really seen too much of, that made a return as well.
No, and you're 100% right. I made that point that there were more design runs this week. And actually, I thought he ran well, both by design and when he had to scramble. He showed the physicality, because I don't think you'd call Jalen sudden and twitchy as a runner, but he's incredibly strong and powerful, and he has very good balance.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Let's go over to the defensive side. This was a big story coming into the game, right? How are the Eagles going to be able to deal with a Rams offense that was operating at a very high clip? They get Cooper Kupp back into the fold. Yeah. What was that going to look like? And again, early on, it looked like it was going to be a shootout, but the Eagles made some adjustments and came away with a win, obviously. And they kept LA out of their end of the field for the majority of the second half. I think they ran one play in plus territory the entirety of the third and fourth quarter. What were your thoughts, I guess, just walking away from watching the film, the defense?
I felt like I was spending all my time trying to figure out who's playing in the slot.
It was a constant rotation, huh?
Yeah, I know. and Roby ended up playing the most, and my guess is he'll probably be the slot guy as we go forward. But as you know, they started Goodrich, they worked Ricks in. They did a pretty good job, I thought. Look, there's multiple ways to play teams that play bunch and stack and all those kinds of things. And, you know, you try one way. If it doesn't work, you go to another way. I mean, obviously, one way teams like to do it is to play something we call box, where if it's a bunch, you play 4-3. And you can pretty much take away a lot of the trips concepts, you know, in a three-man bunch if you do that. You know, I think that was one thing you started to see more of, just to kind of, you know, take away all that.
But the first Jalen Carter sack comes to mind as one of those box calls.
What's that?
The first Jalen Carter sack comes to mind as one of those box calls that helped get Stafford off his first read.
And actually Carter got the sack, but that was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, really a Reddick play.
Yeah, Reddick got the bull rush and forced Stafford off his spot.
Yeah. Although the second Carter sack was kind of a Jalen Carter play. He didn't need any help there. Yeah, he didn't need any help on that one. You know, it was an odd game because in an odd way, I didn't really feel like the Eagles shut down the Rams. I don't know what you felt, but it just didn't seem like the Rams had the ball a lot in the second half. Now, some of that's, of course, the fact that they couldn't convert third downs. I understand that. But I didn't get the sense that they were just shutting this team down. But yet, that's the way it kind of played out.
Yeah, you know, the Eagles benefited certainly from a couple of drops, right? And there were, but
yeah,
also,
oh yeah.
I mean,
Adwell had a really bad drop. Yeah.
Yep. Adwell had one. Nacua had one. You know, those kind of showed up. We saw some misfires from Matthew Stafford, both of, you know,
yeah,
first,
I mean,
second,
there was
down.
One that would have been a touchdown in the fourth quarter. Might have changed the game when he missed Adwell on the seam ball, because that was a touchdown.
Yeah. So, you know, you had.
And again, in games like that, you know, one play matters. And again, it doesn't take away from overall performance. But you know how close games can change. I think at that time the score was 20-14, if I'm not mistaken.
And I believe so.
That would have put them ahead. I mean, he just overthrew Atwell. There was no one there. We know Atwell can run. That would have been the go-ahead touchdown. Who knows what would have happened after. But, yeah, Stafford, I'm sure, would have loved to have that one back. I mean, that was right there for him.
You know, it was to me, that one of the things that stood out was the fact that Sean Desai, the Eagles defensive coaches, it wasn't just like what you mentioned, like, all right, for the bunch looks, yes, you can go with the box call. You can try and man it up. And that the point man, you're going to have a corner up on the point man and play man to man.
I remember talking to a coach who said there's 4 or 5 ways to play that. And it all, you know, it depends what you want to do.
Yeah, and it felt to me like the Eagles threw a bunch of different ways at it, right? Like that's the what stood out to me was the variety with which they wanted, whether it was dealing with the bunch, dealing with empty, dealing with Cooper Kupp. Like it was that they were constantly changing what they were doing and giving them a different look. The Rams came out, they ran empty 2 or 3 times on their opening drive, and the Eagles played 3 different coverages against those empty. So again, just kind of saying like, all right, let's kind of test the waters here and see how they react to this. Like, all right, how do they react to that? And what is it that's going to work for us in this game? And so to me, the different layers to this plan really, really stood out to me. And again, it was bunch, empty, Cooper Kupp, like all that stuff. That really stood out to me.
Yeah. And don't forget that the Rams were thinking that too. They're thinking, let's go empty and see what we get.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, so that's the chess match at work.
Yeah. A ton of pressure as well. I mean, a lot of blitzing from this Eagles defense. You saw all the linebackers a factor. We saw Bradley Roby used often as a blitzer.
Roby was used quite a bit as a blitzer, which, by the way, my guess is, you know, that I've probably seen over the last 2 years a little more Saints tape than you have. And to be honest with you, Roby was used quite a bit in that role with the Saints. So that's something he's done in his recent career, and he's good at it.
My gut says that, you know, he probably just because he got in midweek, it's like, all right, he had a certain bunch of plays that he was ready, prepared for. They ran that same blitz like 3 or 4 times. So that was probably one of those plays that he was comfortable with was that nickel blitz.
Let me ask you a question since, you know, you're there and I'm not. I know that Nolan Smith only played 8 snaps, but there were 2 or 3 in which he basically lined up as an inside defender on the ball and then dropped into underneath coverage. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. There was one where he matched up Atwell. You hunted him up.
Yeah, yeah. Now, let me ask you this. I know N'Kobe Dean is, you know, I don't know what his status is. I guess this was his 4th game, so theoretically he goes into the window. Yeah, I don't know what that means as far as when he's ready to play or not. Do you think we could see, if he's not quite ready to play, Smith getting more snaps at kind of what we would call, you know, an inside linebacker position as opposed to being on the ball on the edge?
My guess is no. I mean, they did a little bit with him doing that in the summer during training camp. And it was, ironically enough, it was when N'Kobe Dean got hurt. And they were just kind of, it was before they brought in Zach Cunningham and Miles Jack.
Okay.
And they were rotating a bunch of guys in there. And Nolan Smith was one of those players, but it was only a handful of times over the course of like a week. So I don't think that that's something that would be like an ideal situation. But certainly him having that flexibility, I think, is valuable to them moving
forward. Well, and I think just to finish up with the Eagles D, you know, I think Cunningham and Morrow have actually been playing well the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Especially, you know, you look at Cunningham playing downhill. I mean, that's his strength.
That's his
right
game.
Now.
He's a really, really good run defender.
He uses his length really, really well through contact. And that showed up. Obviously Morrow, he had the hat trick of sacks a week ago, had the opportunity for some big plays in this one that I'm sure he would like to have back a couple times. The ball went right through his hands on the pick and then on the fumble.
Right. But
well,
I still think overall he's playing well, Fran.
He has. Yeah, no question. And he's been very active downhill as well, especially as a run blitzer.
It's not good. Let's put it this way. It's not been a weakness in their defense.
It hasn't. I've actually really liked, look, the Eagles have one of the best run defenses in football right now, and there's a lot of reasons for it. But I like a lot of the run blitzing and the slanting up front. We typically think of that in terms of getting after the quarterback. But I think that they've been really effective with all of their games and twists from a rundown standpoint as well. Very purposeful with everything that they're doing up front.
The other thing that really stood out to me from a defensive perspective, which we've seen quite a bit of, but maybe we saw it even more in this game due to to Fletcher Cox not playing, was just the multi-positional use of a lot of different players.
Yep.
You know, Milton Williams, who I really like Milton Williams, and I think he's having an outstanding season, by the way.
He had some really impressive plays both against the run and the pass in this game.
I would agree. And, you know, sometimes that doesn't show up on a stat sheet.
Nope.
But when you watch the tape, you see it.
There was the one, it was like an outside zone. They ran, there was a tight bunch set to the defensive right. And you could tell he knew what the play was going to be at the snap. He, because his angle at with his get off was like a 45 degree angle exactly to where Kyren Williams was going on the toss. He got into the backfield and set the edge back. There were some missed tackles in the backfield that led to it being like a 1 yard gain. It should have been like a 4 yard loss.
I know the play you're talking about.
Awesome off the ball.
But he's played really well. He's lined up at every D tackle position. He lined up at wide nine this week quite a bit.
Yep.
I mean, they just have a lot of guys that can line up in different. I mean, Brandon Graham is playing one technique in a lot of these five man front looks. You know,
good pressures just, against the center too.
What's that?
Good. He had some good pressures against the center too.
Oh, I know. He sure did. Yeah. He had a great pressure against the center, which I think was part of a stunt as well.
Yes.
Where, as I recall, I think Sweat looped behind
him through. Yep.
Yeah.
They did that a few times. You know, they have a handful of these penny looks where they've got five defensive linemen, one linebacker, and five DBs. And one of them is just like your basic like rundown look. But then one is a speed package where you've got, I think it's like three defensive ends, and then you've got Milton Williams and Jalen Carter out there. And they ran like double stunts multiple times. I think they ran the same stunt three or four times where you had like a pirate, a three-man game on one side and like a TE on the other. And they were taking turns about who was getting home. It was that was a productive tool for them.
Yeah, and we noticed that right away week one. You know, obviously Sean Desai is a bigger believer in multiple stunt concepts than Jonathan Gannon was. So we're seeing a lot of stunts. I think you probably have the numbers somewhere, but it just seems to me we're seeing, a good amount of stunts on a weekly basis.
Can I tell you who I thought the best player on the field was for the Eagles defense in this game? Josh Sweat. He was so, yeah, I thought he was really, really good in this game.
I think he's always good, yes. But and the other thing too is you could tell now that the cast is off that Hassan Reddick is starting to get cranked up a little bit.
Yep. No, the two sacks late in the game, obviously very, very clutch. And the one, that second one was such a freaky athletic play where he had to turn the corner against Kyren Williams, who's like 5'9", and he like stumble bums his way through it and still accelerate. Just ridiculously athletic play.
No, it's a tough front to play against. And, which probably leads us into this week because, we know what we can talk about the Jets offense, but, the Jets, maybe more than any other team they played against, have to find some way to run the football.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. Obviously look, they had another injury this week. Elijah Vera Tucker's out now. He's out for the season at right tackle. So they got to figure that out in terms of like who's got. My guess is it'll be Max Mitchell, right? Who's a second year guy.
Kind of struggled last week too.
Yeah, I mean it's tough sledding right now for them up front. A bunch of guys on injury reserve. Losing Vera Tucker is a big loss for them. They've got a bunch of young guys that they're playing or inexperienced guys, so that's going to be a tough matchup certainly for the Jets.
But they're going to have to try to run it because Zach Wilson is simply not ready. I mean, look, we talked this week. We knew the Rams were not going to be able to run the ball, but they have Matthew Stafford, and Matthew Stafford can still make throws, and he's a veteran quarterback who's probably a Hall of Famer or a notch below, depending on one's point of view. Zach Wilson is not ready to do any of that. So, therefore, they're going to have to try to figure out a way to run the ball. And again, they don't have to run for 200 yards, but they're going to have to try to figure out a way to have some kind of run game that at least allows them to sustain offense to some degree.
Well, that's the thing is that, when you go back to last week's matchup against the Rams, like Kyren Williams is a nice player, but he doesn't have like that juice that you're looking for. I mean, Breece Hall, he has looked outstanding. He had the 72-yarder this past week against Denver, 5'11", 220 pounds. For a guy that big to be as explosive as he is, especially coming off the ACL, he doesn't look like he's lost any speed whatsoever.
He is so smooth, so fluid. He's got that sort of slashing, darting, gliding feel to his running. I mean, he's got patience, yet he's decisive. He's got burst and acceleration. He can stick his foot in the ground and accelerate in one step. I mean, I went back just as I was watching him this week and just to look at my my evaluation when he came out, and I said he was the best back in that draft class, and he was the total package. And I think we're kind of seeing that skill set right now.
Yeah, I think so. And this is a guy I would say, like, looking around the league, I mean, he's got to be a top five player from a like traits standpoint right now in terms of the tools.
I would agree with that
at his disposal. So that's going to be a tough one to deal with here.
So there, like I said, I mean, because the bottom line is, say what you want, and this is just what the tape shows. I mean, you know, you watch Zach Wilson and he's having a hard time. I mean, he's not ready to work through progressions with any consistency. He stays locked. He leaves a lot of throws on the field. It wouldn't surprise me if the mandate from the coaching staff is if the primary is not there or you don't see it, just check it down. You know, but he's not ready to play against this quality defense at this point in his career. So, you know, which doesn't mean he's not going to make any throws at all, but he's not ready to be the guy. So that's why I said they're going to have to find some way to at least sustain offense. I mean, I doubt that Hall's going to go 22 for 177, but they need a way to sustain some.
It felt like there was like a positive uptick with Zach Wilson off that Chiefs game.
I would say off last week, he played better last week.
Yeah. What did you see from the film here against the Broncos? Obviously, they had a big win against Denver.
Yeah, I didn't think he played particularly well in this game. I mean, he made a couple of throws. You know, he left some big-time throws on the field. I mean, he left a post-cross crosser wide open to Garrett Wilson on the field. And then it wouldn't surprise me because on the very next series, they did throwback and he hit Garrett Wilson on essentially the same kind of route. It wouldn't surprise me if they told him on the sideline, hey, we're going to run this play and this is going to be there, so you need to throw the ball, you know. And his best throw was Conklin late in the game where, you know, he kind of looked to his left, probably could have thrown the quick snag to Garrett Wilson for 5 yards in the first down. Only he could tell you why he didn't throw it. But when all said and done, he came back to Conklin on the stick nod. That was, to me, his best play of the game.
Yeah. You mentioned Garrett Wilson. Talk through his skill set, obviously, from a production standpoint, affected by the quarterback situation right now. But
without question,
Garrett Wilson.
I love Garrett Wilson. I think you did too coming out, right? I mean, it was hard not to. He's a really, really good receiver. He won't have the numbers this year. He would have had the numbers if Aaron Rodgers was playing. He won't have the statistics that make people think, oh, this guy's a great receiver. But I think this guy he's a three-level guy to me. He's a great route runner. He's got juice. He can work all three levels, no problem at all. I think he's a terrific receiver.
And then Lazard is the second guy in that receiving core too.
Yep.
You know, big body guy. You know, we kind of know the book on him from his days in Green Bay. The one guy that, you know, another player who gives him a little bit of juice is this Xavier Gibson. He's an undrafted free agent this year from Stephen F. Austin. He had the game winning punt return in overtime back in week one, when they got the win over the Bills, but, they're also finding ways to get him the ball and like some gadget touches on offense.
Well, they're trying to look for explosive plays that don't involve, you know, Zach Wilson having to drop back and read coverage because he's not quite ready to do that at a meaningful level yet. So, you know, and another guy who I always liked, you know, and again, maybe in a different situation, he'd have bigger stats and we talk about him more. But I think the tight end Conklin's a pretty talented receiver.
I like Conklin. I've liked Conklin, you know, going back to college when he was at Central Michigan. He's 6'3", 255 pounds. He's got soft hands, good yards after catch. He's a useful blocker. We saw him use as a blocker in this game. I think when you look at Conley, he's a nice player.
Yeah, I think he's. I mean, you wouldn't call him explosive for a tight end, but he definitely is a plus athlete.
So let me ask you about this defense. When you look at the Jets defense, and obviously a lot of headlines for what they were expected to be coming into the year, it's been a little bit up and down. But overall, when you look at what would you say the identity of the New York Jets defense is?
They're not a high percentage blitz defense. I think they're built around their front four, and they have really good players at all three levels, but they're not heavy blitz. They're not heavy man. So that kind of stands out to me. But that defensive front, you know, we talk about the Eagles having a great defensive front with a ton of depth. I think the Jets fall right into that category. They've got a bunch of multi-dimensional players, as you know, guys like Franklin Myers who can play D tackle. I've been so impressed with Jermaine Johnson, his speed to power. He is a strong dude. And Bryce Huff is, you know, he's one of the most overlooked, least known, really good sub-front edge pass rushers in the NFL.
He's a maniac off the edge, this guy, Bryce.
And by the way, they use him as a spy at times, which we've seen in the past, which you could well see in this game against Jalen Hurts. You know, he's athletic enough, you know, to at least, you know, kind of fall into that category. We know about Quinnen Williams, a really good player. You know, another guy who's been around the league and I liked him from the time I watched him coming out of Maryland. But Quentin Jefferson has given them really good snaps as well on the inside.
No doubt. You know, this is one of those teams that are like the Eagles where, you know, you look at the guys coming off the bench for them and, you know, this group, you just look at like Bryce Huff, Al Woods, Solomon Thomas, Jermaine Johnson, Will McDonald, Michael Clemens. And you're like, all right, like those guys are not listed as starters. That would be a starting unit for, you know, I don't know, half the league. Like that's a really good group.
You know, again, I don't know what he does in practice every day and all that. But Michael Clemens is a big dude who's got ability. And, you know, he obviously doesn't play a ton of snaps in their defense. But, you know, I think he's a talented guy.
Got outstanding length. He's just a load on the edge. You know, the little
he came
to
NFL Films for something, some Legends thing. You know, the producer of my matchup show, Todd Schmidt, is involved with all that. Okay. And I happened to see him come into the building. If you see this guy in person, he just looks like a giant of a man.
Yeah. Right. I mean, he's 6'5", 270.
And believe me, he looked about 6'9", 300, and it didn't look like there was an ounce of fat on him.
Yeah, I believe it. You mentioned Jermaine Johnson, Will McDonald, another first-round pick, Solomon Thomas, another first-round pick. I mean, they've got guys on this front. And so it's similar to last week where you've got like that guy, you've got Quinnen Williams, who's, you know, as an individual talent is one of the most gifted interior rushers in football. But this group is just so much more established and from a top to bottom depth standpoint. So much bigger of a challenge that way for the Eagles offensive line.
And while they don't blitz a high percentage relative to the rest of the league, I find that because I've seen every one of their defensive games this year, and I saw probably 13 or 14 a year ago.
Yep.
When they do blitz, they're very good at it. They just don't blitz a high percentage, but they're very effective when they do. And they often use Quincy Williams. And by the way, you know, Quincy Williams and CJ Mosley, that is as sudden and explosive a nickel linebacking duo as there is in the league. Those guys are athletic. They show up all the time. They flash. They have speed. They have range. That's a really good linebacker duo right there.
Well, you know, I think when you talk about like this defense, this team has a fast defense. It's typically all right. Like, what do they have at linebacker? And you look at Mosley, you look at Williams. And these guys are just heat-seeking missiles. The way that they just fly around, to your point, you feel that defense as you're watching them. And those two guys, a big reason why. I mean, Mosley has been in the league for 9 years, coming out of Alabama, former first-round pick, and still very gifted. But Quincy Williams, I mean, this is ironically, he's Quinnen Williams' older brother. But this guy is so explosive and so sudden and so violent. Everything he does he's a fun player.
Yeah, and like I said, they don't blitz a lot, but when they do, they often use Quincy Williams because he's downhill explosive.
You saw that this week.
I don't think they'd shown that blitz all game, if memory serves me correctly. You may be correct me on that, but I don't think they showed that blitz that they used twice, you know, at the end. One was through the B gap, one was through the C, you know, on the outside, I guess you call it the C gap. And then when they needed it, they used it. And that first one where, Wilson was in the pocket and didn't run out of the pocket, he got there so fast.
Yeah.
It looked like he was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, he's impressive. And Eagles fans may remember last preseason, he was the one who delivered that big hit on Jalen Hurts along the sideline that started a little kerfuffle during the preseason game.
The other player who needs to be mentioned, you know, they play nickel. This year they've played on 80% of their defensive snaps. That's like fifth or sixth highest in the league percentage-wise.
Sure.
And when you play that much nickel, your slot corner has to tackle. And I think Michael Carter is a really good tackler in the run game. And I think that makes a big difference in their defense.
Yeah, former fifth-round pick out of Duke. He played some outside corner, learned how to play the nickel spot, and he's coming on well. They've got another young kid in Tony Adams playing at safety. They lost Chuck Clark back in the summer, and it was like, what are they going to do? And there was like whispers about this Tony Adams kid, and he's coming in. He's played well. Sidney Brown's former teammate at Illinois, 5'11", 200 pounds. He's that similar kind of body type. What have you seen from Adams on the back end?
I haven't studied him individually. I took note of him simply because they drafted a few years ago Austin Davis, who everybody thought would, you know, be a big-time starter and potentially a big-time player, and he's obviously beating him out. You know, he's their starting safety. Davis only plays the few snaps, and it depends on the opponent, obviously, but he only plays when it's big nickel.
Big nickel playing the slot, yep.
Yeah, so he doesn't really play that many snaps. That's opponent based. So Adams, you know, like I said, I haven't studied him individually, but you know, obviously he's a better player in the mind of the coaching staff than Austin Davis, who was what, a second or third round pick, maybe?
Ashton Davis, I believe, was a third round pick in 2020 coming out of
camp. And I remember when he came out, remember he was so-called one of those so-called risers fan, remember? You know, because he tested really well.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about. You remember sure. All that.
Yeah, no, yeah. The athletic gift certainly there with Ashton Davis. One big topic this week certainly will be the matchup between the Jets corners and the Eagles receivers.
Yeah.
Sauce Gardner on one side, DJ Reed on the other. How do the Jets use the corners? How do you see this matchup kind of developing?
Is Reed going to be back as far as we know?
Believe so.
Okay, because I know it was a concussion, and normally it's not a two-week deal. It's normally a one-week deal.
Right, exactly.
Well, what they've done pretty much going all the way back to last year is Gardner play. This week was a little different because it wasn't Reed. It was Bryce Hall.
Bryce Hall.
So it was a little different. But when Reed is out there, Gardner plays left corner and Reed plays right corner. And that's kind of the way they've played with very, very, very few exceptions. Okay. So again, every week, you know, people, you know, on social media think, well, this is the week Gardner's going to match up, but it's never happened. So again, you know, we can sit here and debate it. It becomes speculation. But the reality is, since he started day one as a rookie with the Jets a year ago, I would bet 98% of his snaps have been at left corner.
So not a situation where we can expect, especially like on a down-by-down basis, where he's going to necessarily shadow A.J. Brown. And so
unless they want to change it, but that would be a change, which then anybody can speculate that.
Yep.
But that's not how they have played through, you know, a year and five games.
Year and change with Sauce Gardner. No, it'll what is it? What stands out most to you when you watch Sauce Gardner?
Length and ease of movement. Mm. I mean, for a long guy, there's no turkey jerky. Yeah, I can't think of the word, you know, the best word, but he's just a very easy, fluid mover.
He's
looks like
stiff.
He's exerting no effort, but he obviously is.
Yeah.
And it just looks easy to, you know, to him. I mean, he came out the same year as Stingley, and I liked him more than Stingley, which doesn't make me right or wrong. I just liked him more than Stingley. I thought he was the best corner in that draft. As you know, he played boundary corner at Cincinnati. So he had a lot of man coverage, press man. He can press. He can play off. He's just a comfortable mover, loose hipped, easy transitions. Nothing looks difficult.
Yeah, he's certainly a very talented corner, and we'll whether it's against A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith, we'll make for a fun matchup here on Sunday afternoon. Greg, thanks so much for joining us once again here on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. We'll be breaking down this Eagles-Jets matchup with you next week.
All right, Fran, thanks.
Well, great stuff there from Greg. Thanks to him, and thanks to all of you out there for your continued support of this show and all the rest of our podcasts here with Eagles Entertainment. That being said, I think that'll do it. Another show in the books here on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. For everybody here at the NovoCare Complex, I am Fran Duffy. We will talk to you next week.